Okay. My SoundCloud page is awesome. It has all these different types of styles. The first song on my page is the Flowing song. And I had fun making that.
James is 13. He's on the autism spectrum. He was diagnosed when he was about 2.5. Here's his mom, Nancy Burrows.
If you met James in passing, he might be very interested in your address, what street you live on, when your birthday is, subjects that a typical kid his age might not necessarily have any interest in asking you about, he would be extremely interested in.
Another one of those subjects for James, music. Always has been, for as long as his mom can remember.
When James was a baby, he used to wake up from his nap sometimes humming a note. And we had an electric keyboard downstairs, and I would bring him downstairs from his nap, and he would go over to the keyboard and he would play the note that he was singing. Like, no hunting and pecking, just bam, he was playing the note. I'm a musician. I play the piano and the guitar. And so I started teaching him the notes. He was maybe a year and a half old. And we were out one night at a restaurant, and there was a live band that was about to play, and they were tuning their instruments. And as they started tuning, James, who was about 3 at the time, started calling out the notes that they were playing. He said, "I like that A. Nice C sharp." The musicians confirmed that those were, in fact, the notes that he was playing, and we bought a piano after that.
James's obsession with musical notes didn't go away. As he got older, he always heard the world in terms of tonality.
You know, elevators were B-flats, and leaf blowers were A's, and everything was a note, and he was extremely attuned to not only kind of the musicality of the world around him, but also just noises in general.
James goes to a school in Baltimore for kids with learning challenges. It's a place called the Lab School. And about 3 years ago there, they brought in a guest artist for an assembly for the kids, a guy named Max Bent. He's a beatboxer, a vocal percussionist. And by all accounts, the sounds this guy could make, they blew James's mind.
James's aides at school write little reports at the end of the day so that I know what happened. And the day they came home with the report that said a beatboxer had been at school, I was like jumping up and down in the living room. And so I contacted the school and I asked them if they could give me Max's contact info to see if maybe he worked individually with kids.
James's mom got in touch with Max. She explained the situation with her son, his fascination with music and noisemaking. And Max said, "Understood. Sounds good. I'm definitely game to try this." And so James's mom started bringing her son over to Max's home studio on the weekends.
When he first came to work with me, it was actually after having heard a beatboxing show I did at Lab School. He was digging the beatboxing, I guess. And so when he first came, I was going through the approach of teach him how to beatbox. And that sort of lasted for a while, maybe like a month or two. And we had a lot of structure at that time. We actually had a list of rules that we would refer to about things he was allowed to do or not to do to keep him focused. But now, after 3 years, we have a very genuine relationship. I just took 2 beats of what you played at the end. Look where it is. All right, now see if you can. We'll see if you can add a bass part to it. But go down to D1 or D2, I think. Yeah. And you got high notes too. When I'm working with James, the studio setup consists of a microphone, a keyboard controller that's like about 30 keys, and a drum pad controller. So we can play piano. And it sounds pretty good. And we can also, at the same time, put effects on our voice, which is something that he likes to do. And when we're recording, usually what works best is if I just hit record. And I just let him go.
A couple of words about James and Max's technique here. You hear these songs and you have to wonder, is a 13-year-old kid really making all this music? And the answer is yes, essentially. Max runs the recorder while James sings or plays the keyboard or the drum pad. Then they listen back, they pick out clips, and they loop those clips to repeat. They play the loop back, Max hits record again, and James adds another layer. Rinse and repeat a few times, and you end up with compositions that sound like this. Kids on the autism spectrum, they tend to perseverate on things. Historical dates, maybe, or geometric shapes, or road signs. Or, like in James's case, music. And music, as a perseveration, is an interesting outlier here. And that's because it's mathematical, but it's also a vehicle for emotion. So, as far as autistic obsessions go, music kind of comes with a bonus.
You know, the music is the same every single time. That's very comfortable. That's very reassuring.
Dr. Christina Cardo is the program director at the Schaefer Center for Early Intervention.
What's great about it is the pieces that are social and are emotional, that can actually teach them how to experience those things in a way that's consistent and mathematical and very structured. And so it's a great vehicle for that for many, many kids, and it can make those other things become reinforcing because you're pairing it with something that they find very positive and very comforting.
I might be going to Target House. Cha 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 cha. Town Center. Cha cha. Town Center. Town Center is very cool. I might be going there later too.
Cha 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 cha. Cha, cha, cha.
Later on,
cha, cha, cha,
I might be going to Target in Towson.
He's able to take the first few notes of a piece and turn it into an entire language.
Amy Weiser is James's music teacher at Lab School.
A lot of musicians, more traditional musicians like myself, might take the first few notes of a piece, that inspiration, and really mill it over and have to think about it for a long time. But he can compose something for you right off the bat.
He moves through ideas rather quickly. Like he'll go to an idea, sort of chuckle at it, go to another idea, chuckle at it. But he definitely seems to get a kick out of the things he plays.
He's where all musicians want to be. So many times you're trying in the studio so hard or while you're at your instrument to get into the flow. And James is always in flow.
He's honestly one of the most interesting musicians that I work with. And when I finally realized that, I realized, like, I'm not really this kid's teacher. I'm this kid's collaborator. And it took me a while to realize that because he's a lot younger than me. James is almost like a session musician now. Except he's a really dope mix of, like, session musician and sort of lead, iconoclast lead singer.
When you hear Max Bent and Amy Weiser talking about James's flow, the musical beta state that he can get into so easily, you can't help but notice a little admiration in their voices, maybe even a little jealousy. Because whatever roadblocks may be in James's way, Writer's block is not one of them. Weiser says James may well be on the path to becoming a successful, albeit eccentric, performing musician, especially in an art scene like Baltimore.
I could definitely see him around Baltimore doing really interesting compositions, beatboxing gigs, electronic music. I could see him being really creative in that arena. And I wouldn't put it past him to be helping with other ensembles either, of the more traditional vein. He can add a harmony to just about any vocal piece you want to throw at him. So I could picture him being an extremely powerful musician, and he certainly has the resources to do it.
Chief among those resources, James's mom, Nancy.
I know that this is a gift that he has that potentially could be applied in some kind of real productive way in society one day, if we let it follow its course and help shape it. I am not sure what that will be. Will he be a musician one day? Will he work at a radio station? Will he be a DJ somewhere? You know, but it gives me hope when I listen to his music, because I know that my son has this incredible, unique strength.
Nancy is a phenomenal mother, and what she's been able to do in helping James with his love of music and opening up opportunities for him has been really incredible.
This is Helen Schaefer. She's known James since he was a 3-year-old toddler when he went to her school, the Schaefer Center. Helen has an autistic son of her own about James's age. And mom to mom, she tips her hat to James's mother for her tireless efforts to break through the wall of autism.
And when you have a breakthrough like that, you feel lots of different things: joy, pride, relief, excitement. You know, just being able to see your child who you may not have thought could do something, able to do something, it's remarkable. It's just remarkable.
Being James's mom has its ups and downs. I've certainly shed a fair amount of tears over the last 12 years. And I've also had my fair share of jaw-dropping moments. My son has an amazing brain. And one of the things that being his mom has taught me is never take anything at face value. Always look a little deeper at what my kid is doing, because maybe he's giving me a clue about how to connect with him in a deeper way. You know, if I had just thought James's noisemaking was just noisemaking or something that I needed to turn off, we might never have discovered this amazing creative outlet for him.
Over the past 3 years, James's weekly music sessions have changed his life. They've given him confidence, self-esteem, actually a fair amount of swagger. I mean, really, how many 13-year-olds can say they collaborate with an electronic music producer on the weekends? And it's fair to say, too, that these sessions have had a profound impact on James's collaborator, Max.
Knowing James and transcending, it's actually made me look at things differently. Like, I think all the things that we consider that might be important, and that the conversations, the logical conversations that we have on a daily basis with people that makes us think we have some sort of relationship with them, are actually a lot more illusory than you think. Because James and I don't really talk about stuff that I would talk about with other people. Our relationship is very much about what we're doing. It's like, he's like, I'm here to make some music. And I'm like, I'm here to make some music. And we don't necessarily like talk about our feelings or this or that you might think you would have a relationship bonding or something like that with other people. But we still understand each other, I think, really deeply through making music together.
As of this broadcast, James Burrows and Max Bent have produced a catalog of more than 40 songs together. You can hear them on the social media music site SoundCloud. When you get to the site, you want to search James B. Good. That's James, the letter B, Good. And, of course, you can find a link to it as well at our site, wypr.org/programs/signal. For The Signal, I'm Aaron Henkin.